Hey, America!
Start listening now!
That's pretty good. That's
nice. We don't have an opener, do we?
Turkeys.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
If we ever see Damon Albarn, I'll shoot him in the head.
And welcome to another threatening episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
I don't up, like it.
It's okay. Should we play Wonderwall again?
Yeah, let's. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
All of our new listeners. Out there.
If you're still with us.
Yeah, if you're still with us, Sam, hit him with the obnoxious show socials.
The obnoxious socials, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, come and follow us on the social medias. Oh, God, I can't keep that up. My voice will be shredded by 5 seconds in. Anyway, follow us on social media at 12pointsUSA on either Facebook or Twitter. Your choice, your pick, because you are an independent person who needs no man, and you get to decide. But yeah, you can also just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. All feedback is welcome, especially if it's positive. So stroke our egos. If your podcast purveyor of choice gives you the opportunity to subscribe or like or give stars or reviews, feel free to load us up with that as well. It helps other people find our wacky little corner of the internet that much more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on the docket for tonight, gentlemen?
Well, we don't have a ton of news since last week. I would say the biggest thing is, and we even talked about it last week a bit, that it seemed like Belarus was not going to be coming back. That is pretty darn official at this point.
Yeah, they got officially uninvited to my birthday party.
That's right.
Aww. Yeah.
And also the EBU.
Yeah.
Then who's going to bring the cookie salad?
I don't need cookie salad. Mom can make Snicker salad. Ooh. Anyway, Belarus is out because of... I'm going to say obvious reasons.
Yeah,
they threw their toys all the way out of the pram at this point. After the announcement was made by the EBU, a torrent of propagandistic, well, we didn't want to be part of your Eurovision anyway, kind of came out. And I'm like, you know what? F off.
You showed us.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. When you put it that way, please come back. Belarus. I'll never hurt you again, Belarus.
God and demons. I will say that this will make for an interesting little bit of trivia, the fact that Belarus was one of only two nations that had performed at every single junior Eurovision, the other being the Netherlands. Belarus can now obviously no longer participate at Junior Eurovision. They're not even an associate anymore. It's not like Australia or Kazakhstan where they can be invited with a special invite. They are out of there. So, Netherlands, I guess you win.
Way to go.
Netherlands. Wow, 3 years in a row. Good job, Netherlands.
This is kind of a curious thing, too, because Belarus always gives 12 points to Russia. That's 12 points gone there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's a good point.
12 or even 24, you can argue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell them about, sure.
Mm.
Oh, those poor, poor Russians. Whatever will they do?
Moldova.
Yeah.
Friendship ended with Belarus. Now Moldova is my new best friend.
Yeah.
That's the situation here. That's just about the only news we have for, like, 2022. Obviously, we are, like, 10 and a half months away still from the contest. But, but damn it. We need to provide that sweet, sweet content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So with that in mind, we do also have a burning question this week.
Ooh.
It's a simple question. It's not from anyone in particular. It's just been on my mind. And it is, what does the UK need to do?
I feel like we had a whole episode on this. But then again, that was before a year and a half ago.
That was before James Newman and his luscious lips got zero points.
0 points.
Oh.
Zero. Now, obviously, there's nowhere to go but up. But let's say, what does the UK need to do to reach some degree of relevance, to get a respectable score, however defined?
Take risks.
They need to send a song in a minor key. I'm going to say that, and that sounds really reductive, but... The UK always sends either cheese or, like, an anthem. And I feel like Europe can kind of look at the UK and be like, all right, we get it. You colonized 3/4 of the world. You can stop now. I feel like if the UK just decided to be have a modest entry, send a sad song. Send Barbara Profi, you know?
I think for me, the UK just needs to stop playing it safe. And this kind of piggybacks on what Danny was saying, that they're trying to send a song that is inoffensive to everybody. I mean, My Last Breath had it, as well as Embers as well. It's happy or it's uplifting, but it doesn't ruffle any feathers. It doesn't take any risks.
The Slumdog Millionaire of songs. In that it's a feel-good movie that ostensibly has artistic merit, but it's actually very transparent and manipulative.
I see.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But it's just take risks. I mean, ruffle some feathers. Piss somebody off. Send something in a genre that you wouldn't expect to work. I mean,
send a bluegrass act.
It worked for Daddy Frayer.
It sure did.
It pissed a lot of people off.
But I mean, he did something. He different. Sent something different and weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look at Iceland, for example. They sent Our Choice by Ari in 2019. 18, sorry. Mm. And it was, you know, didn't ruffle feathers. It was sweet. It was feel good, but it was forgettable. They sent Hatari, and everybody's talking about them. They sent Dadi 2 years in a row, and everybody's talking because it's different. It was risky. Stop playing to the middle and grow some organs of your choice.
If you're going with an internal selection and you don't really have to answer to a national vote or a public vote, then go with something that has some, well, that has some oomph.
Do you think they should go to a national final?
Well, the thing is, they've done national finals before, but the songs that they put in the national final are just as inoffensive.
Are milquetoast, yeah.
That's the right word.
Milquetoast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they should take a page from a few other countries, excuse me, that also were having problems and then reinvented themselves, and maybe take a year off or two.
Ooh, that's...
That's a lot, I know.
Ask the UK to take a year off to find themselves?
Maybe.
Like they've been doing that since 1066.
Conversely, fire everybody and start over. And I know that's kind of drastic, but whatever team is working on this, it's not. They're not doing it. Mm-hmm. They need some. They need someone young and new who maybe doesn't have, you know, a career that's going to fall apart if they don't do well or something. You know, like somebody who is going to bring something different and interesting to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the Netherlands. For a long time, they were sending these sort of inoffensive, kind of positive, happy, clappy entries that didn't go anywhere. And then they decided to switch things up a fair amount. And then when Anouk came in 2013, sending a big name star who was, you know, taking the risk, but also a different style of song. And they let her have a little bit more creative freedom and creative control. And they made it to the final every single year, culminating with Duncan's win. Mm-hmm. I think about Lithuania as another example of a country that really wasn't making a ton of impact. And they switched it up, went with this new Pandabomb is Now Yo setup, and ended up with not only The Roop, but other great songs from their national selection that, you know, if The Roop had won, there could have been another great number of songs that could have done really, really well for them. So sometimes a shakeup is totally in the cards and totally doable.
Had that national competition been around in any form before, or is this a newly established thing for them?
Pandabomb is Now Yo?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had national finals before, but I think there was a bit of a shift in what they were focusing on. I think...
But this is no they fest. Think, this is
no, it's a different setup. I mean, Lithuania used to have like a months-long setup where, you know, the same singers were singing, you know, swapping different songs around, and it just didn't really quite connect. You know, you would have a selection for the singer and a selection for the song, there'd be kind of two concurrent things. It was a real quagmire, but it made for decent TV, which I'm sure for a public broadcaster, you want to get those ratings in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a Melfest. It wasn't a sort of setup where you had a singer or an act performing a song that they connected with, that they really believed in. It was a bit more matchy-natchy.
It seems like, I think one thing that would really benefit them is if they had kind of addressing the root cause of a lot of these problems is they don't have a really good national final or selection system. Mm. Like, it seems like most people on the ground don't care. And they kind of have this very negative attitude about the whole thing. And if they did something bigger with the show itself, because there's all these UK talent competitions, and they could somehow spin that into a Eurovision national finals system, I think people would be a lot more excited about it. It'd be a way to like launch careers and
like tie it to British X Factor, something like that,
like San Remo does,
like Malta did, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that would be. I think a lot more people would care if they did that.
But at the same time, for a lot of people, culturally in the UK, especially after literally decades of Terry Wogan crapping on the contest for a generation of viewers, it turned into, oh, let's see what everybody else is doing. Aren't they so silly? To everybody hates us because now...
Brexit. Oh, sorry.
Which is BS. We all know that. But for a lot of acts, they don't see it as the springboard. They see it as a place for has-beens and never-wases, which in so many other countries, that's not the case. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of, we're not sending our best because our best don't want to go because they think it's not a place for the best.
Hmm. I think it's really telling that they brought in somebody from BMG. And that was sort of this big announcement, like we're bringing somebody in from a big label to try and do this differently. And then they ended
BMG,
up...
BMG.
Yeah.
Warner Music Group.
That's right.
It's BMG.
Warner, yeah. And then they ended up doing the exact same thing. So whatever the problem is, bringing somebody in from BMG didn't fix it. Like that's not where the leak was in the boat or whatever. I think they should send a rock band.
Oh, I know what they could do to get Europe on their side.
Mm.
Get rid of Boris Johnson.
Just toss him in the English channel.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, there is sort of a chip on England's shoulder about being the, like, you know, being the cultural savior of Europe and how a lot of Brits think that they're better off without the continent. And I think that sentiment that is not shared by a majority of people from Britain and England still rubs England the wrong way. And may have been doing so for centuries.
See, I wonder now that we have Måneskin doing so well on the British charts right now, that, you know, I think they have two or three songs in the top 10 or top 20 right now between Ziti Boni, Wanna Be Your Slave, and I think their cover of Begging also is now making massive headway.
Yep.
You know, will that maybe subtly change the vision that people have of Eurovision entries and Eurovision acts among the populace? Dani Freire has also had some success, maybe not necessarily with 10 years, but he certainly did with Think About Things. I mean, people were dancing to that on Dancing with the Stars, Strictly Come Dancing, whatever you want to call it. It's entering the lexicon in a way that it hadn't been previously between what's crossed over to the to sales and radio airplay to TikTok, frankly.
I think that absolutely could be the case as long as they go in a direction like that. I mean, I think if they look at the success of Måneskin and of Blind Channel, I think there's something to take from that. I mean, Bring Me the Horizon is basically Blind Channel.
Hmm.
Just send them.
Again, I will again, I think I've mentioned this on the show before. I will put this out into the universe in the hope that maybe some deity out there will hear my prayers. Send churches.
Yeah.
Send churches. You haven't sent a Scottish act since 1988, for crap's sake. Send churches.
Would churches do it?
Probably not, but I'm...
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, make them go.
If they, but that vibe, like I would love to see churches or an act like that. I mean, I hear a song like Never Ending Circles that had that anthemic, modern feel.
Yes.
That would have, I think, fit perfectly into a Eurovision selection.
It's also like exactly 3 minutes.
I know.
Like that song would be super cool.
All right. Girl, well, I think we're done with the UK now. This is not the focus of this episode, but
no,
it's the focus of many other episodes.
Yeah. Honestly, especially for people who are just finding our show through the article that we were just featured in Envision magazine. Again, we are so, so grateful to the folks at OGAE UK for including us in their latest issue of their magazine.
Friends of the show.
Woo!
We are harsh on you because we know. We know that you can do better.
We are all rooting for you.
Like
Tyra Banks.
But let us know if you are British, if you have a vested insider interest in this. I would love to know, what do you think about the British situation in at Eurovision? What do you think the BBC could do to make things better? Again, hit us up on social media, on Facebook or Twitter, 12 Points USA. I'm really genuinely interested. Like, we are very much outsiders chatting about this. You on the inside, let us know what you think. All right. We have an actual topic today.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's been our show.
It's related to a bit of the whispers that we talked about in our last episode about Turkey looking more likely than in past years at perhaps coming back in 2022.
Fill that big Belarusian-shaped hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess first things first, the news came about because Turkey might be coming back is like in the news every year at about this time.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I can remember that the Eurovision website and social media decided to like do a post about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I'm sure they're probably partially capitalizing on the fact that people are talking about this. Why don't we capitalize on the fact that people are talking about this, which brings traffic to our site? I mean, I think about conversations that I've seen at junior Eurovision press conferences at the big show. And people always ask the organizers of JESC, oh, are you going to reach out to this country and this country and this country? And people say, oh, yeah, we're going to reach out to the United Kingdom, or we're going to reach out to you know, a country that hasn't participated in a while. And everybody jumps on it. However, it's kind of the duty of the broadcaster to reach out to as many countries as they can sustain. Whether they say yes or no is a different story. You know, when a broadcaster or when an organizer says, oh, yeah, we're going to reach out to, say, Estonia. It's like, it's sure, why not? And that could be a quick email to the head of delegation saying, hey, you want in? And half the time it's like, no, we're cool. But, you know, the conversation still happens. That being said, the idea that Turkey could return is abso-freaking-lutely tantalizing.
Yeah. That's also, if the EBU can swing it, a huge audience.
Oh, my God.
It's a huge audience.
Massive. And even though they haven't participated since 2012, there's still a big interest and a big fandom within it. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly, I would love to see them back. I'm sure the fans who are living in Turkey would love to return.
They'd be returning to a very different contest, too.
Yeah, it's been a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the series would be happy to have them back, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and with yes. a new, there's because when they left, it was a completely different scoring system, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certainly some obstacles, the political landscape and the leadership there probably being chief among them. Mm-hmm. But so, Sam, you're saying that okay, yes, the EBU is doing a post about this possibility, but you don't think it's actually any more likely at this point? Yeah, honestly.
They're playing games with our hearts.
They should quit. They should quit playing games with my heart, Sam.
What?
Tell them to stop.
Oh.
Before there's a total eclipse of the heart.
Ooh, turn around, bright eyes. Anyway, no, I would love to see it happen, but I'm taking it with a very, very large grain of salt.
They seem like they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they quit.
EBU or, the EBU or TRT?
TRT. Mm. I mean, they quit and they started their own Eurovision.
Yeah, Turkvision is a wonderful mm-hmm. monster unto itself.
Yeah, it is.
Which is amazing by itself, but it's just kind of weird, like, screw this, we're going to do our own
Blackjack and Hookers.
Blackjack and Hookers.
So, I mean, when Eurovision Again did 2003, so the year the Turkey won, Turkish social media went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really seemed like it was maybe, and again, this was in the middle of the pandemic when nobody could really do anything, and who knows how much of this lasted, but it really seemed like it lit a fire that was like, this was really great, and we should look at this again. But it's hard to say.
It's really hard to say. But we thought we would take this opportunity and this episode to really focus on a country that made a massive impact on the show and some great, great songs over there. How many representations? 33 appearances? 34 appearances, 33 in the finals.
Yep, which is a pretty great rate of getting there.
Yeah.
Only one time were they in the contest and not in the final.
Yep.
And it was one of their last times there, which probably contributed to them rethinking their participation. But we'll get into that, I'm mm-hmm. sure.
So where do we want to start with our little retrospective on Turkey?
Well, I wrote down a few just little cliff notes of Turkish involvement. They debuted in 1975. first song was called Seninle Bir Dakika. Mm-hmm. Am I even close?
Yeah, actually pretty close. One minute with you. Yeah.
Okay. One minute with you. Yeah, it's about being like the 7 minutes in heaven. anyway, it finished in last place.
Yeah.
They were going to compete in 76, so they didn't just like drop out because they finished last. But they did drop out because Greece sent a song about Cyprus, which they weren't really feeling that. So they dropped out for 2 whole years and then came back in 1978. Where they did a little bit better. They finished 15th. Yeah. 15th instead of
78 was 18th. So they won better.
Yep.
With one less point.
Tied for second to last.
All right. Way to go. They were, again, going to be back in 79, but the contest was being held in Israel. Some of their neighbors and political allies and things like that pressured them into dropping out. Very late in the process, actually. They had a song, they had a spot in the running order, and they just didn't go, basically.
Specifically because it was in Jerusalem, which is highly controversial.
Yeah. Yes. How many countries actually dropped out that year?
From 1970? Because
Lord knows Turkey was not alone.
They were alone, actually.
Oh, really?
They were alone, yeah.
Even though it was in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah, we're cool with this.
Wow. Yep. 78 had 20 countries.
Oddly enough,
79
Israel
had 19.
Dropped out when it was hosted in Jerusalem.
This is too controversial even for us. You guys
we don't want to be associated with this.
Yeah. But, lucky all we're
yeah. Starting in 1980, they competed every year until they dropped out, except for 1994. That was when they had the sort of the relegation system. If you did badly enough, you didn't get to come back for a year. This was their first solution to the there are too many countries problem before they did a semifinal.
Oh.
Basically, the countries in the like last...
Punish the people who have hard enough time.
Yes.
Like...
Yeah.
It makes sense. Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take a year off. But I mean, some very big names ended up missing years because of this. Like Belgium got knocked out 1 year. Mm-hmm. I remember Switzerland would get relegated sometimes. But it only happened to Turkey once. And they stayed in the contest every year besides 94, between 1980 and 2011. They finished last 2 more times, 1983 and 1987. And then starting in the late 90s, they started figuring it out. I feel like at some point, and that point was about 1997, they found a formula that really worked for them. Or that worked for listeners,
that
got them votes. And by the time we got to the 2000s, they were rolling. From 2003 to 2010, they finished in the that's an 8-year span. They finished in the top 4 5 times, mm-hmm. and had an additional top 10 finish among those as well. Their only non-qualifier, as we mentioned, they've been in the final every year, except one, that was 2011. They NQ'd with a song that deserved it, I would say.
but they brought a contortionist.
That was weird.
It wasn't enough.
They put her in a yeah.
I will say, this definitely jives with the list that I've compiled. We're gonna do a top 5 from Turkey, just like we did with Hungary and like we did with Montenegro. Some choice memories there.
Nero made our top 5.
Yeah, heck yeah, it did.
It did.
For me.
I will say, it tracks with my top 5. Not to give anything away, there's only one song in my top 5 that is outside of that era.
Mine is pretty heavy in that era as well, not completely. But yeah, they after non-qualifying, they did come back in 2012. And then after that, they did drop out, citing their dissatisfaction with the format, with the semifinal sort of thing, which feels like a pretty lame excuse to me. But what do I know?
We just don't like it.
Well, I think they said specifically they didn't like the jury / televote system.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted it to be all televote.
And looking at their history, I can see why they would think that. Their success really kind of went hand in hand with the time when it was 100% televote.
I mean, like, you were saying it was around that 1997 point, and that was the year when televote mm-hmm. started being introduced to Eurovision. Yeah. So it makes sense that things kind of mm-hmm. bounced up for them.
Yeah, I mean, looking at when it was 100% jury, and looking at the vote they got from Germany, and there's a huge Turkish diaspora mm-hmm. in Germany, the jury gave them 8 points twice, 5 points once, 2 points once, and that's it.
Mm.
When they went to pure public vote, it went like this, 12, 12, 12, 10, 7, 0, weirdly, 10, 12, 10, 12, 12, 10.
Wow.
So, yeah, and they relied on the public vote a lot. Netherlands gave them 12 points in the televote 5 years in a row. Pretty remarkably. France loved them in the televote. Belgium loved them in the televote. And so, I mean, it's the diaspora.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, so I get that. Yeah. They perform incredibly well under the public voting system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I could, you can totally get why they'd be a little bit bitter when they decided to switch things up to this 50-50 system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And granted, I'm sure they would have done just fine. They might not necessarily have won it as decisively as they did in those.
Well, they did. I mean, they were in three finals where there was a mixed public and televote. They got 10, 10, and 8 from Germany still.
Mm.
They got 12, 12, and 5 from France in that period. Others not so great. Yeah. Oh, and at every opportunity, it only came up four times because the crossover wasn't huge. They never got less than 12 from Azerbaijan, ever.
Well. I mean, it goes to show, like, I'm just, back in 2011 when Azerbaijan won, when they came up on stage to do their reprise, Elle and Nikki held an Azerbaijani flag and they held a Turkish flag. It is a very, very big point of pride for the Azerbaijanis that they see themselves as Turkey's siblings, as their twins. I think they say one nation with two countries.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that they had that.
I mean, looking, there are a couple of other interesting ones here. They always, when it was 100% televote, they always did really well with Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Hmm.
In the last year they participated, only 4 points. The UK, which tended to give them a lot of love when it was 100% televote, 1 point in 2012.
Well,
and I wonder how much that I mean, just looking at it, going from eight or more basically every year to getting one from the UK has got to be. You know, if they're itching for a reason to be like, this sucks, then I guess that's it.
But now, I think it would be a good idea to come back now, just the fact that if, for example, you had at the time, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, if the public were absolutely loving you and the jury didn't, you ended up with no points, basically. Just ask Poland in 2014, for example, with Slavic Girls.
Oh, man.
But nowadays, if the public love you and the jury don't, you still get, you know, up to 12 points.
Mm-hmm. And there have been winners. I mean, what was it? Italy came in fourth in the jury this year?
Yeah, exactly.
Killed the televote.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed like, if Italy gets about 200 points from the jury, they're going to win because we know the televote's going to be huge.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But I think this would be the happy medium where you still can capitalize on a public vote.
Well, look at Kano.
Oh, yeah.
They had a terrible jury vote and they finished sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I think Turkey under this system would do pretty darn well, just kind of looking at how it works.
Yep.
They come back and finish top 10, you know, why wouldn't they come back again?
Yeah. Well, shall we, segues, I have wine, as you'll see. Here's the wine, if you want to take a look.
Yeah.
There we go.
So lovely. Should we start, you know, we all have our top fives. Should we start with perhaps, and I'm going to say, yes, we should, start with some real stinkers. I would like to start with some real stinkers.
Yeah, but the thing is, knowing our opinions and how we can often divide,
yep.
A stinker for you might end up being in my top 10.
Okay.
I think that's all the more reason to start with stinkers, honestly. Aww. I want to see what happens here.
I'm going to start with a real big stinker honestly, if it's in your top five, Sam, I don't know. Thanks for the wine. 1991, Iki Da Kika. This is Turkey's answer to the Three's Company theme song. This is real bad. I don't think Turkey sent a worse song than this one. I will say the performers are selling it, but they are selling it in the way that, you know, the main characters would sell it in the opening credits to a TV title.
I will say, in 1991, my favorite thing about Iki Da Kika, which means 2 minutes, is the fact that the host, Toto Cotugno, could not pronounce it for the love of his life.
What? It's four syllables. Five syllables.
The singers, Izel, Rehan, and John, were trying very, very hard to say, Iki Da Kika. Iki Da Kika. And he's like, Iki
Was this in Yugoslavia?
No, this was in Italy.
Italy.
This is the last time in Yugoslavia.
This is the disaster show that we mentioned
right.
last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the three of them are like, Iki the Kika. Iki the Kika.
Is he doing it with the...
Allora, allora.
Was that a bit, like, or was he really just that?
I think they were getting genuinely irritated with him. If you haven't actually seen the 91 show, yeah, watch that. And
it's on YouTube.
It's
they
amazing.
They did a Eurovision again of it. It's... It is an unbelievable mess.
Allora.
It, you watch it and think, I kind of can't believe they did it again.
I can't believe they came back in 92.
Like, this is such a, oh my God.
Just do an episode.
The only other stinker that I'm going to mention, at least for my part, I do have another big X on my list, but it is undoubtedly going to be in Sam's top five. So I'm just going to talk about the act that I call Turkish Meatloaf. I forget what year this is from. Unutamashin?
That would be, yeah, 98. Tuzman.
98.
Tuzman.
Yeah.
Unutamashin.
This was, this is classic. Just a guy with an open top two buttons and long hair singing a ballad about a goyle. this was...
Smolder Tuzman.
So, yeah, surprisingly boring considering that we are right before Turkey's sort of golden era of sending some real legitimate bangers. Feels weird watching recap videos of all of Turkey's songs and then having to encounter this business.
Before we get into the numbers, I'm curious, how many of your top five are in Turkish?
For me, it's four.
I think wow. Three could be four.
Two.
I've got three as well.
I got the lowest.
I'm unsure about...
Which is impressive considering that Turkey has had 2, 4, 6, 7 songs entirely in English and then 4 songs that were bilingual.
Remind me again, the year that anyone was allowed to sing in any language?
2000.
Do that.
Yeah.
They definitely really benefited from... That rule change.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fact that until Azerbaijan showed up, they were the only country to have a native language in even the Turkic language family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there's any real crossover. It's not like, okay, if there's somebody singing in Italian, the French speakers, the Spanish speakers, the Portuguese speakers might be able to glean a lot of the information. Turkish is, I've tried learning it. It's tough.
It sucks.
It's great, but it's tough.
You heard it here first. Sam says the Turkish language.
No, I didn't.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Anyone else have any choice stinkers?
Well, I not stinkers exactly, but I did have a few notes on a few songs. I thought Sufi Hey Ya Hey from 1988 was the note I just wrote was, this is what it would be like if Fear and Flamme was good. Because it seemed like basically that same thing, except it kind of worked. I don't really have an opinion on the song, but yeah, it's B2 from 1992. That means summer's over, which is the same thing that B-Slot and Yar means.
Now that's a remix I'd like to hear.
Yeah. Superstar from 2006 by Sibel Tuzun. Sibel Tuzun?
Mm-hmm. Sibel Tuzun.
That seems like the progenitor for everything San Marino has done in the last 5 years. And opera.
Oh, God, opera.
Opera, 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 opera.
How did that only get 0 points? It's anyone's guess.
You have been given -10 points.
Yeah. Oh, my
song
God.
Song so bad that it should have carried over into the next year.
Yeah.
For some reason, a gong went off halfway into it. They got dragged off stage.
We were talking about this before we started recording, and that is the song that I did not even write down because I didn't even need to think twice about it. Like, this song doesn't even deserve my negative opinion.
Boy, that one is a...
Opera.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That one is wild. Other than that, yeah, I have like one honorable mention as well, but shall we get into it?
Yeah,
sure.
Top
sure.
fives?
Yeah, are we all just going to start with our fifth place and then move up?
Yes.
Let's do that.
We're going to go around.
Yeah, let's do rounds. Eric, let's start with you.
All right. Starting with number five, I went with a song we talked about right at the start, Seninle Bir Dakika, their debut, 1975. Really, really nice ballad. I was surprised. I was surprised this finished in last place because it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, it's just, last episode I talked about
songs of the era sounding a certain way. And for me, this song sounds that certain way.
Well, it sounds nice.
Yeah, sure.
Darn you.
It sounds nice for that era, yes.
So that's my fifth quick honorable mention as well, I guess, to... I'm guessing somebody, at least one person, will have picked this. Dean Lai from 1997.
It's my number five.
We'll transition into that. I would just say that seemed to be the first one. They finished third.
Yep.
The first really good finish. Mm-hmm. And sort of set that bar that's like, okay, let's make this our thing. And they didn't always do it. And when they did, it didn't always work.
Yeah, but this has definite, we call them the ethnic overtones that we really appreciate. Yeah.
Was this... perhaps the first Fuego?
We have to leave that behind. My note on Dean Lai is actually you can tell Celtic Woman was big. I believe this is 97?
97.
So we are perfectly in that era when we are, even in America, there's a huge acceptance and vogue for world music. And this just sort of scratches that itch. It is a really solid entry. Derek, what's your five? Is it Dean Lai?
Dean Lai, I was debating Dean Lai for number five.
Yeah.
And I decided to go with Senin Le Bir Dakika instead. Ah, their debut song. I know when I listen to...
You got great taste in number five.
But when I listened to all the songs, you know, kind of in order, and that 1975 came up, I was like, oh, this is good. How did this do? Mm-hmm. It was last, which totally undeserved, I think. But, you know, some countries... out of the gate, I think I kind of struggled. I will say overall, I love how Turkey always sounds Turkish to some degree.
Yes.
Yeah. Even when they're singing in English. Yeah.
Even when they're singing in English, like you know where this is from. And I can't say that about a lot of countries, which is unfortunate.
I totally agree with you. I didn't put Senin Le Bir Dakika in my top five.
What?
I know, I'm a monster. But I did put another early one. It's their third official entry to make it to Eurovision. 1980, Ayda Pekkan with Petrol.
Ah, Petrol.
That is literally what the song is about.
That's mine.
Is it really?
Yep. Yes. Yep. It is a veiled...
My note here is, how is this song not the OPEC anthem?
Oh, yeah. It's all about, you know, it's all about...
It's about the oil crisis,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. The oil crisis in the oil industry and all of that. It's, you know, they had two... translations of it, one into English and French, basically loving on petrol or le roi de petrol. Mm-hmm. But it's also very Turkish and very ethnic. I love the sort of vocal work that she does in it. And Ayda Pekkan, keep in mind, this was 1980. She has been performing consistently since 1963 and is still recording today. She's 75 years old. Wow. Granted, I think most of her face is only from 1997.
But, holy cow.
Yeah.
Man, let's
look at that picture.
Huh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she had a crank installed in the back of her head just to make sure that skin is smooth.
Yeah.
But regardless, like, she is timeless. She is very much a massive star within the Turkish musical world. And to see even early on Turkey taking a risk and sending these big name stars, even though it only came in 15th place, you know, 1980 was really a banner year, and the song always stood out to me. One, for being kind of subversive,
except
and
what's
also
this
still,
year?
1980?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yes. Ugh. No. I'm sorry. That's what's another year? Johnny Logan. Johnny Logan.
What year is Bugs Fizz then?
81, I think.
So
yes, that was 81.
It was one of the four Johnny Logan years.
He just keeps showing up.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so yes, my fifth place goes to Petrol.
Gotcha. My fourth place is, I think, going to be the most controversial pick that I have.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm ready to throw it.
Okay.
MFO.
Which one?
I can't believe you chose either of their songs. This is...
They were one of my honorable mentions.
Oh,
but Eric, which one did
okay,
you pick?
Which one?
The first one.
Did I die?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I would have gone with Sufi, but I'll take it.
No. I went with Did I Die. It reminded me of like a Toto song.
Huh.
Or something like that. Like it, I don't know. It
something
just,
like that.
You know what?
No shame.
I dug it. I just thought this is solid. This is well done. I honestly, like Sufi, that's the one I said was, that's like if Denmark this year were you know,
we're good.
We're any good. They harmonize really well. Yeah. That's a big thing for me. And mm-hmm. and I like this song more than Sufi, I think. And
I will say I appreciate them because they write and perform their own songs, which is rarer in that era.
Hmm. But yeah, MFO have been consistently recording since the 70s. They are still very well beloved and like good on them. Like throughout the two Eurovision agains that MFO have been featured,
mm-hmm.
the public have gone absolutely nuts for them.
You can see.
They also did that song, Summer Girls.
Yeah.
Like goes that way.
Underground dance.
Yeah, that is them. Like,
yeah.
What does MFO stand for?
It's their names.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah, it's
MFO.
Majar Fuat and Iskan. Yeah.
MFO. Danny, how about you? Number four.
My number four is Petroil.
Yay!
I had to choose it. It's I chose it. My note actually says good question mark, and then above it I said Ivan Etniage vibes. It's good. Good enough for my number four, honestly. Like I said, make it the OPEC anthem because no one else is writing this kind of song.
Derek?
Hi. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
I might catch some heat for this one. It's Every Way That I Can from 2003.
I had that as my, if I had a top six, it would be.
It's not on your list.
It's not on my list, no.
And strangely enough, this is probably my favorite Eurovision winner of all time.
Oh, for God.
And it's number four.
Damn.
On your
number
Eurovision
from a Turkish list.
Turkish songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I tend to not like the winners.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just a problem.
This
you really do.
This is true.
I don't know why. I just yeah. There's another song I just like better.
Yeah.
But when I listen to all the winners together, and this one really stood out to me, like a blend of like the ethnic influences, mm-hmm. and it's fun, and it's got energy, and I like kind of what it's about. I think it's a really cool song. I think it deserved to win that year. I think they really worked hard for it. So
yeah. And that was a particularly competitive year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they took the win by 2 points.
Hmm.
Yeah, there were basically 3 points separating first and third place.
Wow.
Yeah, it was close.
It was a fun year.
It was a very fun year.
This is a year that I encourage people to listen to the studio version because the live version is, I can't say this enough, breath support. Please, breath support.
I mean, she was really going for it.
Yeah,
she can tell she was putting it all in. But
this is a very physical performance.
A little too much, maybe, though.
Mm.
The thing is, like, Serta Berener is an incredibly talented vocalist. Like, the following year, when she opened the show, she did a version of the song called Leave, which she also has done in Turkish as well, as Aşk, I think it's called. But it blends pop and really opera. She hits these, like,
opera?
But yeah, she's an incredibly talented performer.
They should come back and they should bring the Opela people back.
Still
test the diaspora.
I
Seated Alp.
Well, he died in 2004. So
I was gonna say, he was pretty old in 83.
How many of the short waves are still there?
I wish I knew.
Fair enough. Anyway, Sam, what's your number four?
This is going to, I'm guaranteed people at home who know the song are going to be laughing their asses off at me, but my number four, no shame, 1987, Seyal Taner and Lokomotiv Şarkım Sevgi Üstüne, Turkey's other null pointer.
Oof.
It is one of those songs that is so earnest, and again, so of its time with the hairnet, and or the hairspray, the aquanet, the fringe and the high camp and the every single movement is choreographed like crazy, but I can't help but smile. And I could sing most of it. Don't ask me to on the show, but you'll have to get me drunk at a karaoke bar in my Eurovision and maybe I'll do it. But I...
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Let me write this down.
I unabashedly, unashamedly love Şarkım Sevgi Üstüne, even though I realize it is not the most incisive or like literally the song's title translates as this song is about love. But it's all just like, I'm bringing you a song. It is all about love, happy, positivity, smile. And I get sucked in.
Mm.
So my fourth place is a null pointer.
Okay.
Going into the threes, I suspect. I mean, there are a couple of songs that haven't come up yet that mm-hmm. I think are probably going to come up for everyone.
Crush at the top, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but my number three is 2008, Deli, by the band that did Mor ve Ötesi.
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 Ultraviolet. Or yeah. Violet and Beyond.
Ooh. Why don't they call why don't we use that? That's amazing.
I know.
It means Violet insane. It's their first go. Maybe not their first go, but one of their first shots at sending more of a rock type song. Not the best rock type song that they've sent, and I'm sure we will get into that about four times, I think. And yeah, this song is awesome. Just a great rock tune. Not enough stuff like this. One of the things I appreciated Turkey for in that period was sending songs like this. So that's my number three.
Mm-hmm. I have a different song. Number three. My number three is For Real.
That was my honorable mention.
Oh, yes. Serving Us. This is... the thing that I actually have to say about this period is how... And this is different for pretty much every other country that I've decided to take a closer look at during this, we'll say, like, pre-2014 period, is Turkey's submissions seem very in line with what was popular here at the time. Now, this is from the early 2000s, and For Real is giving me this sort of third wave ska slash Ricky Martin vibe with the brass, but it's very sort of like, not quite rock, but just like, you know, brass plus dance. Give me some Lou Bega vibes. So it's like, if what was popular in the US, but just delay it by 2 years, we'll say, That's what this feels like. A perfectly worthy song of the era. For real!
And I also think it was a great song of the time because it was the host country entry. It was the song.
Oh,
that,
sure, yeah.
It was the song that followed.
Not phoning it in.
Right. So, one, they're giving it a shot. But two, like, imagine a song like that, which is all about, like, dance and move yourself and imagine the
hosting
enthusiasm
that.
Of the crowd.
Yeah, host station vibes.
Like, that must be incredible.
That's as close as we've gotten to a country doing the double in this century, isn't it? Because they finished fourth as the host entry, which is...
Not Germany?
No.
No, they didn't do as well.
No, Germany came in 11th, I think.
Yeah, they did pretty well, but not that way.
Yeah. No, this
Sweden
yeah,
was first and fifth.
Azerbaijan came first and fourth, I want to say.
Okay. Well, it's up there then.
Yeah,
it's so, up there.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly one of the best. All right. Derek?
I'm going to have trouble pronouncing this. My number three is For Real.
No, it's For Real.
And, yeah.
Rare time, but... We haven't agreed since Ukraine 2020.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. I think it's even better live because you got the crowd going and they look like they're just having the best time. And I think, you know, there's certain countries, I think when they win, you see how much they appreciate it and how much they just take every ounce of like joy out of it. And they're just living it up. And it's just so much fun. And it's a good song. I think it's really enjoyable. So.
Got to be so cool to represent your country in your country in a way like that.
Yeah. And do well.
Yeah.
And do really
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. All right. My third placer, we've kind of touched on it before, but I'm going to have to give it to Shebnem Pakerim Group Etnik with Dinle for 97. Mm-hmm. Just so good.
All the way
so,
to three. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely love it. It just encapsulated that ethnic touch with that globally accessible pop that you just can't help but love. It was, considering that Shebnem had represented the country the year before and not done super, super well, she came in 12th place, which is, you know, at the time for Turkey, okay. Mm-hmm. But she just ramped it up and came back with a very accessible song, even in Turkish, that people just absolutely lapped up. And this is during a time when the language rule was still in effect. 1997, first and second were the United Kingdom and Ireland. So for a song in Turkish to come in third place and do, you know, that well and become really sort of an evergreen, it was really very impressive. So yeah, my third place goes to this evergreen, didn't we?
It was also Europe's third place that year.
Well, I am Europe.
I knew it.
Have you ever seen me in Europe in the same place?
No, actually.
Derek has.
the entirety of Europe in the same room.
I will note that that was also second in the running order.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And her song the previous year that finished 12th, first in the running order.
Ooh. Moving right up.
That's interesting. Mm. So my number two is Every Way That I Can.
Every Way That I Can!
That one.
How can this be?
So here's, I'll echo what some people said, but I'll take it a step further, actually. The live performance of this song is awful. Vocally speaking, it is really, really bad. And I mean,
I'm going to say the same about Fuego. Like, we've talked about breath support, baby. You've got some dancing. Mm-hmm. You've got some dancing to do and a lot of singing to do. I guess you're going to do really good at one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vocally, it is a train wreck. And to the point where I can't believe it won.
Yeah.
Well, if you had heard Tattoo that year.
I did hear Tattoo that year. And yeah, they were even worse. They were, oh God, they were two train wrecks. That's what the two T's in Tattoo stand for. Anyway, train wreck and train wreck. Ugh. Anyway. Anyway, having said that, for as bad as the performance was on a vocal level, I remember watching this when it was on Eurovision again. And the moment it started, you could tell that there was just something about it. It was fairly early on. They were fourth in the running order. And I think the first three songs were also kind of meh. But there was just something. That it factor was just there so immediately. That beat, that instrumental melody that starts the song and ends the song. There was just something about it. And apparently a lot of people felt that way because despite being a really, really bad performance, it won the damn thing. So yeah, Danny said, listen to the studio version.
Please do.
Do that. It's phenomenal. That's my number two.
Yay. Danny.
I'm going to have two similar songs up
I wonder
here
what they are.
At one and two. Number two for me is going to be We Could Be the Same. Ooh. We Could Be the Same. In my, I have shortlisted it as Turkish Muse 2.0. This is some nice rock music, and we are not hearing a lot of rock music in this era. And it for me, it slaps. That is all.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Derek?
My number two is Deli. Also insane.
A nice Turkish deli.
Nice Turkish deli. Yeah. It's open 24 hours and it's a block south of the arena.
Oh, man, I miss Vienna. Oh, I'm just kicking myself that we didn't know that the existence of the 24-hour Turkish deli until the weekend. Day before.
That was like me and Choco Mel in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It's been here the whole time. Mm-hmm.
How did I not know? Anyway. Deli.
Excellent song. They sound great. It's different and weird, but it's recognizable and approachable as a rock song. I think it's very cool. I love the vocal work that he does. I think it's really neat. Really impressed with that one. Kind of surprised it only came in seventh, but solid entry.
Tastes were somewhere else that year.
Yeah.
Mm. My number two, I'm also going to echo Danny. We Could Be the Same.
Yeah, we could be the same.
Yeah, 2010. Again, incredible song. The thing that I love about We Could Be the Same, not only just the fact that I like good rock being put on Eurovision, just, you know, case in point, see Italy this year, but I love the fact that they staged the song in such a way that it didn't just look like a Eurovision song. It looked like concert footage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very different from what a lot of other acts were doing, that you could see that it was staged for television. This made it feel a lot more like you were a fly on the wall of a good concert.
This is the year with the sort of, I mean, this is a given at every Eurovision now, but the illuminated floor.
Yeah, they weren't depending on LEDs. So what they were doing was lighting and their own effects and
it really did look like you were seeing what bright lights you would see came from above, like you would at a club, like you would at a rock show.
Right, exactly. And they really capitalized on that very, very intelligently. And, you know, Manga, again, like I keep coming back to, they are a credible, popular rock act that this just happened to be a stepping stone for them. They've been performing since 2001 and have, you know, a handful of hit albums in Turkey. And this just felt like a snapshot of what they do.
Yeah.
And it felt organic and it felt real and it's just right up my alley. So they are my number two.
Well, that'll transition well into my number one, because it's the same song.
So we could be the same. Yeah, there we go.
It could be the same as Sam's number two. it's the only manga I tolerate. It's
you don't read the Pokemon manga? Come on, not even Pokemon?
No.
But the guy who created Berserk just died.
Because he was working on Berserk, I think. Anyway, this was an absolute no-brainer. This song is phenomenal. It should have won, honestly. Satellite.
I like Satellite.
I'm fine with Satellite, but this was something special.
I've disparaged Satellite enough, and I'm glad that you guys are taking up the mantle.
Yeah. Say, when it's not even the best song that she sent to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Taken by a Stranger was just a freaking masterclass, but we're not talking about
Stranger. Sam took all my talking points, basically.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, this is one of the all-time greats, especially when you look at rock in the history of Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, there's Zitje Boni, there's Vislatnjar, there's...
Hard Rock Hallelujah.
I mean, I don't even put that, I wouldn't even put that on this same level. Yeah. This is the toast. There was no question whatsoever mm-hmm. that this would be number one. I did go through everything. Maybe there was something I hadn't heard. Maybe something like Daily would rise to the top, something like that. It didn't. It's this. We could be the same. Number one.
For me, Daily did rise to the top. That's my number one. And it is no coincidence that it is the too earnest, sort of very close to American sounding pop rock songs that are at the top of my list. Daily is the one that I have as Turkish Muse 1.0, not the worst by far. This is it is rock music that is very, very melodic at the same time, and it's not holding back. I say pop rock in the most loving way possible. It sounds like Muse without Matt Bellamy's tenor vocals. It sounds great. We could be the same, and Delhi could be tied for number one for me. But right now, I'm putting Delhi at number one.
Derek?
My number one is Opera. No.
You son of... Lying in wait this entire episode.
Yes. My number one is We Could Be the Same.
Yeah, there we go. Good.
Okay, and the second someone said, we got to do a top five of our favorite Turkish songs, it was like, We Could Be the Same, number one. Mm-hmm. Like, no question. Absolutely loved the song the first time I heard it. The only thing I can say, in addition to everything else everyone else said, I think their staging is really excellent. I think it does a really good job at sort of creating this visual narrative at the same time with the woman who starts out as a robot and then peels off all this armor and becomes this dancer.
Forgot. How could I forget?
And it's,
Grinder Girl, yeah.
It's really cool. And she has this thing where she's grinding the pieces off and sparks are flying. And it's just really, really neat. It's shocking. This came in second, losing to Satellite by 76 points. It's an insane number. And the difference between second and eighth is like 34 points.
Satellite, man.
It just absolutely crushed it. I could see why they tried to set another rock song the next year. That was just a dud. Rightfully, mm-hmm. I don't think it should have qualified mm-hmm. either. But really sad to see manga.
Manga.
Okay. I kind of want to say manga.
I like reading a manga.
Manga.
Does that mean something in Turkish?
Oh yeah, what does the name mean?
I mean, you're asking me like I speak Turkish. I know how to pronounce Turkish. No, I believe it's inspired by manga. It's named after the comics. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, like Detective Conan Osiris.
Oh yes. Again, that's a mashup. I'd be very interested to hear. Anyway.
So yeah, I think they're fantastic. I've listened to some of their other music too, and it's great. I honestly think they should have won that year, but
thank you. We'll write a letter.
In 2010.
EBU, we would like
Dear
you to
EBU.
Re-examine your decision.
For me, anybody who really knows me know that my number one, it's no secret, Delhi is not only my favorite Turkish entry, it's
Thank
one of
God.
My favorite Euro
Can I just say, Sam, before you go into this, I would like to congratulate us collectively on not including Dum Tek Tek.
That's kind of surprising. No one did.
This is the one that I wouldn't mention because I was like, it's someone's 5 or 4, almost certainly.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we have restrained ourselves.
I guarantee a lot of our British listeners are probably like, why did they not put Dum Tek Tek? This is just what we like.
My note, I will tell you why. It sucks.
My note is, we all know what's selling this. We all know why this is doing well.
Yeah.
I don't understand the appeal of that song at all.
Because there's five bells. belly buttons on stage, what, Eric.
Who gives a
I know.
It's stupid. Anyway, Sam, and talk about a song that's not stupid.
Yeah. Thank you. No, Deli, not only is it up my alley musically, like that sort of accessible and yet still authentic rock, this song for me marked a watershed in my personal story, my personal fandom with the contest. I was sort of a passing sort of, okay, Eurovision's on, I'm interested, this is cool. Morvetesi not only inspired me to really, really get into Eurovision, but it also inspired me to get into the artist back catalog. This is the first time that I heard an act and was inspired to go, what else have these folks done? Eurovision with this song turned from a showcase of songs to a showcase of artists. And I am eternally grateful for that. Morvetesi is still one of my favorite bands of all time, of any language. Honestly, if you are into the songs from 2008, if you're into Deli, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you scope out their albums, Dünya Yalan Söylüyor, The World is Lying, or Büyük Düşler, which means Big Dreams. Incredible, incredible stuff, very much in that same line. I mean, I'm not only just loving this musically, but it, for me, is very personal and tied into my own journey with Eurovision. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. So yeah, Deli, I almost get emotional talking about this song. I love it so much. And it's not just the two glasses of wine that I've had tonight.
Yeah.
But I genuinely, genuinely love this song. And, you know, this is also the first time that I actually watched a final with a friend instead of just, you know, sitting at home. And, you know, my friends and I were screaming our heads off and pissed off that Deli only came in seventh overall. You know, how the hell did Russia take it? I know. I know. But all in all, like, it was one of those songs that stood out to me then and still stays with me now. So for me, if I can give it more than the maximum score, I would.
Well, you can't.
Eric, who won this? Is it Deli or we could
I
be
think,
the same?
I think we could be the same. Might have nipped it, but...
It's very close. If our number ones each were 12 points, let's say, our and twos were 10, threes were 8, and so on, we could be the same. He has 44 points out of a possible 48. and Deli has 42.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I'm totally fine with... Mm. With that.
Definitively, I think mm-hmm. they're Turkey's two worthiest entries. Mm-hmm. You know, and step away with that.
Mm-hmm. More so than the song that they won with, which only three of us picked, mm-hmm. I'll note.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was close. It was
my six. Yeah, it was my six.
It was close. Yeah. Here's a question that I thought of when we were talking about this. Suppose We Could Be the Same did win that year.
Oh, yeah.
What's different about the landscape at this point? That would have been the second rock win in half a decade. Would Turkey still be doing this?
Probably.
Potentially?
Yes. I could see that. But I think there was a bit of political blowback after the 2014 contest when Conchita won. I think there was a bit of the conservative, especially the political side, that were like, oh, we can't have this.
That has definitely been cited, like, since they dropped out as a reason why they don't do it. Was
right.
Because artists like Conchita are featured.
Right.
Which is disgusting.
Which is disgusting,
but yeah.
Just wait until you see Ireland from 2018.
Mm.
That was a nice song.
Yes, it was. Also, gay.
It's pretty
Someone
gay.
Had to say it.
Also, gay.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's all we have to say is Turkey, if you're coming back, bring something that slams. I mean, now is a great environment for doing it. You know, Sidi Ibuoni just absolutely killed it. And every single Eurovision podcast and news source is saying, oh, is rock and roll music going to be the next big thing in Eurovision? That's my European accent. It's just, you know, it sounds very much like a Long Island accent, but no. Whatever. They're easily confused for each other.
It's going to be a Serbian ballad next year.
Yes. Everyone's singing in Serbian next year.
I mean, the thing is, like, Turkey has a population of like 83.5 million people.
It's the 19th, it like the third biggest in Europe.
Yeah. Something like it's the 19th biggest in the world, certainly according to my research, which is basically just me looking up Wikipedia right now. But it's got a massive population, a massive, massive musical industry,
mm-hmm.
and
they have their own Eurovision. They have
Turkvision, which is a hoot if you haven't seen it.
We covered it last year a little bit. And I wish we'd covered it more. It was wild.
It's great.
You know what I wish we had? I wish we had, like...
An AmeriVision?
No, a bunch of Intervisions, you know? When we do Eurovision again and it's just an Intervision.
Oh, God.
Who won this year? Ah, Soviet Republic of Tajikistan.
Ooh. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, if Turkey comes back, they could bring back a massive heavy hitter, especially considering the last couple of years, they were bringing well-known artists. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in the case of John Bonomo, a lesser-known artist who had a really interesting sense of style. Like, Love Me Back was okay, but if you listen to some of his other albums, his song, or his album Mezcup from 2011 was really very cool and bringing together pop and rock and ethnic sounds. It was really cool that we didn't see super well.
Love Me Back was kind of embarrassing.
Love Me Back wasn't the best, but he's got other great songs.
If they were to come back, would you say shooting to the top 10, if not 5, of the betting odds just immediately?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just...
The enthusiasm behind them returning would be... Everywhere.
I mean, San Marino was like top 10 betting odds.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just on the back of Serhat.
Yeah, that's...
No,
that's
true. This year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On the back of Flo Rida.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. San Marino and Serhat were never at the top of the betting odds. No, but the fact is, with Serhat, he lifted San Marino to the final. Yeah. That's second time around.
Got the best televotes. 10th in the televote that year. 19th overall. Best for San Marino ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He dug into the Turkish diaspora hard.
Yes.
Like every interview, every press conference, he was like, I'm calling on the Turks to come vote for me.
And
like, he wasn't even hiding it. It was kind of ridiculous, but it worked to an extent.
Turkey, when you come back, please just don't bring Sarah. It's the only thing I beg of you.
How did Turkey itself feel about Serhat's presence and performance, particularly with Sinanana, because it did so well for them? I mean, it was, kind of performing for Turkey by proxy, almost.
I'm not sure if the fandom from Turkey were more supporting Serhat or if they're more supporting Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Oh,
because of Chinggis, right?
Yeah.
Truth. Yeah. Or were they more supporting Jeopardy?
Well,
did they broadcast it?
No, I don't believe they did, actually. Yeah.
They didn't for a few years after they left.
No, they haven't been broadcasting it since 2013, actually.
Oh, at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
According to Wikipedia, anyway, no broadcast, no participation. So.
That's too bad.
Taking a quick look here, no, they did not broadcast it. And in the lead up to 2019, Binali Yildirim, the prime minister of Turkey, went as far as to say that the contest the year before, 2018, had been rigged for Israel. So...
Wasn't a fan of toy either?
That's...
It's tough to say that it's rigged for Israel when Israel sent a song that was so zeitgeisty. Like, it blasted onto the stage, and what? Was it ever lower than third in the betting odds?
No, not really.
Never.
Yeah. There's nothing else like it.
I want to say going into the Saturday, it was behind Fuego, but it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't really struggle until, like, the last few days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it ended up winning anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, Turkey, we want you back. It's a different contest now. We promise we'll love you. And respect you.
And if we won't, at least Azerbaijan will.
Yeah.
You're bound to get some 12s from some people just on principle.
Yeah.
But if you keep sending stuff like you were those last couple of years, you'll be fine. Except for maybe Yüksek Sadakat. We don't talk about Yüksek Sadakat.
Yeah.
Maybe go back a few years.
No.
Doom Tech Tech and we could be the same.
All Delhi, all the time.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun.
This is great.
We're out of wine, so I guess that means the show's over.
Yeah.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
It's that kind of night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us know if we're wrong. Please let us know which one you guys like better, Delhi. We could be the same or other.
Doom Tech Tech. We don't care.
Yeah, please. It's Doom Tech Tech, please.
If you genuinely liked Opera, let us know.
So we can block you.
Yeah, also, I was going to say, let us know your address.
We won't block you. We'll send you some stuff, some better songs, maybe.
Well, until then, everybody, we hope to see you at our next episode, whenever that will be and whatever the heck we're going to be talking about. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Hey, America.
Hey, America!
Ah.
Need more special sauce. Go put this jar of mayonnaise in the sun.